name, a beautiful name that angels brought down to earth. They whispered it low one night long ago to a maiden of lowly birth. That beautiful name from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. I know of a name, a beautiful name, that unto a babe was given. The stars glittered bright throughout that glad night, and angels praise God in heaven. I love that blessed name, that wonderful name, made higher than all in heaven. 'Twas whispered, I know, in my heart long ago, to Jesus my life I've given. That beautiful name, that beautiful name, from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Romans 5. Romans 5. Find that scripture in your New Testament. Go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then you slide by Acts and locate the book of Romans there, chapter 5. And I'll give you just a moment to find it. Heard yesterday from Brother Tom Fitzgerald that Patricia Bergeron passed away on Friday night, early Saturday morning. Patricia's the one that would come in the wheelchair on Sunday nights, sit right back there, and had the privilege a couple years ago to show Patricia how to be saved as she trusted the Lord as her Savior. And my soul winning partner was the key to that. Don't ever think that if you're just a partner that you're really of no use, because he was the key to us having the opportunity to open the Bible and share with her how to be saved. And she loved to come to church here. She never quit going to her original church, but she came here on Sunday night and she loved it. And but thank the Lord, she left this life and now in heaven and joined all that heaven has to offer up there. Let's stand together in honor of God's word. If you found Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read the first verse. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just simply speak to you this morning on peace. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, thankful for the opportunity to open it this morning. But just opening it and even just reading it, by just opening it and reading it, we get a blessing. But even more so, God, when your Spirit comes in power and teaches it to us, speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that the glorious light of the gospel of Christ would shine forth today. It's also known as the gospel of peace. I pray that you'll have your way in this service. Fill us with your power, both speaker and listener. I pray and ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. There's no more wonderful season than the Christmas season. You know, every major holiday we celebrate here in America is special. I enjoy them all. And there is enjoyment in observing that particular special day and the things that go along with it. But there's just something special about Christmas. And I believe it's because of who this season centers around. It does not and should not center around a fictitious figure named Santa Claus. And I'm sorry I just ruined Scott Williams' holiday. But anyway, I have no problem. I have no problem having a little fun with, at this time of year with the Santa thing. I have no problem with that. As long as parents, Sunday school teachers, make sure that their children know that God is the source of all gifts. And Santa is a sidebar at the Christmas season for a Christian, or at least should be. Because Christmas centers around Christ, It's said all the time, but He is the reason for the season. He is. Okay. December 25th may not be the actual date of His birth, but it's a wonderful thing that there's a day chosen to honor the memory of His coming to this earth. And maybe there was a pagan effort, made by enemies of Jesus to deter attention to something besides His birth. I've read those arguments. I've read those opinions, and I get it. But in the end, for me, if not December 25th, then somebody choose a date, and let's make a big deal out of Jesus' birth, okay, one way or the other. And so I'm glad we make a big deal about it. When we think of Christmas, a couple of words immediately come to mind that are synonymous with the season. And I don't mean presents and eggnog, okay? Although I enjoy both, all right? You know the words. They're joy and peace. Joy and peace. How many of the seasonal songs that we sing or hear this time of year have those words that are centered, and even those themes, they're centered around, the theme of the song is joy or peace. You get gift wrap paper. And on the gift wrap paper is printed the words joy and peace. Those two words are used on decorations that adorn trees. They adorn buildings and city streets. Joy and peace. Now, we read in our text this morning in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, about peace. And it is a special peace that is mentioned in Romans 5, 1. It's peace with God. Now, think with me this morning. How many times over the years have you heard somebody make a statement like, I made my peace with God? Or I need to make my peace with God. Or he or she needs to make their peace with God. Or one of these days, I'm going to make my peace with God. Now, usually that's said because people know there is a strain in their relationship with God. Or they know that their life has fallen short of what God expected of them. Or they honestly admit to themselves that they've been involved in things that they know to be sin. They know to be against God and against His Word. And they need to settle up with God. And so they use the terminology, I need to make peace with God. She needs to make, one of these days, I'm going to make peace with God. People do need to settle up with God. There is a breach in our relationship with God. But listen carefully this morning. We don't need to make our peace with God in the sense that He has offended us. I got interested in that little statement. I need to make my peace with God. So I did a little research and looked up the origin of the statement. What was the definition? What did somebody mean when they said, you know, I need to make peace with somebody. I need to make peace with my aunt. I need to make peace with my grandmother. I need to make peace with my parent. What do they mean by that? Well, when they say that, they mean to reconcile or come to terms with a person or thing that was a previous source of stress or conflict. Reconcile or coming to terms, coming to peace, with a person or thing that was a previous source of stress or conflict. Now, that's true in families. But knowing that that is the true definition of the statement, it is obvious that we don't need to make our peace with God. God is not the source of conflict or stress with anybody. Are you with me this morning? When we say, I need to make my peace with God, by definition of the statement, we are saying that God did something to offend us. God did something to disturb me. And I need to come to terms with Him so I can have peace. It's like saying that the fracture in my relationship with God, the friction in my relationship with God, is His fault, not mine, and I'm just going to have to come to peace with it. But the truth is, and we should be interested in the truth. It's very wise to be interested in the truth. The truth is, God has to make peace with us. With us. It's our fault that there is a fracture in our relationship with God. It's our fault that there is friction in our relationship with God. Our sin has offended God. Our sin has disturbed Him. And because of our sin, God has no peace with us. But it's not His fault. It's ours. Are you understand what I'm saying? Our sin has offended Him. It's disturbed Him. Because of our sin, God cannot allow us to come live in that beautiful home that's called heaven, His home. We are the source of stress or conflict in our relationship with God. Don't turn in your Bible, but Psalm chapter 7, verse number 11 says this, God is angry with the wicked every day. Whoa, I thought God was a God of love. He is. But He's also a God of justice. And to the height that God loves righteousness, to that same depth, He hates sin. Hates it. It's abominable to God. You say, well, I'm glad I'm not wicked. If God is angry with the wicked every day, I'm glad I'm not wicked. The word wicked is synonymous in the Bible with an unsaved sinner. You don't have to be shooting drugs. You don't have to be, I never murdered anybody. Doesn't matter. The wicked in this sense is an unsaved sinner. This is how God feels about the unsaved. Does He love the unsaved? Yes, He loves the unsaved, but He's angry at the sin. And one of the reasons He's angry at the sin is because there's no peace in the relationship. That's not His fault. Now, just because He's angry with the unsaved, the wicked, the unsaved sinner, doesn't mean He's not gracious to them. You know, the unsaved really never consider that God controls the very breath that keeps them alive. You read the Bible, read it carefully, and you'll learn where God hands us every breath we take. I'm my own man. Try breathing without God's hand. He dishes out the breath, the very breath that we take. He gives the unsaved sunlight, gives the unsaved warmth, He gives the unsaved rain. He's merciful to them. But sin is the element. Sin is the factor that causes Him to be offended with unsaved people, offended with them personally, and so offended that there's no peace in the relationship. And people know that. Something just went off. I think somebody might have hit that. That's all right. If you don't know which one it is, don't worry about it. You'll be those lights used to have a protective cover on there, but we don't have that anymore. I'm just glad it's a light switch and not the power going off, okay? Thank you, no problem. How does the person make peace? How does God make peace with a person? How does He make peace with someone who's a sinner? That's where I was going. It doesn't have to be somebody shooting up drugs. It doesn't have to be somebody that's murdered anybody for God to be angry with you. If you're unsaved, there's no peace between you and God. Was that you? That's exactly what I didn't want, Tom. But anyway, thank you. And now, Prince of the Power of the Air, Sunday school class, Prince of the Power of the Air. So how does God make peace with a person, whether it's somebody that's guilty of murder or somebody that's just told lies? And what I said last week, a lot of times people try to manufacture that peace through all kinds of ways that don't work. How does God make peace with a person? How does He make peace with someone who is a sinner? How does a holy, sinless, perfect God make peace with a person when sin has cut off His relationship with them? How does God make peace with people so that a person can live with Him in heaven for all of eternity? The answer to all those questions is found in verse number 1 of Romans 5. We have peace with God, here it is, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. There are so many other scriptures that reinforce the fact that Jesus is the only way God can make peace with us. It's the only way. And when it comes to being at peace with God, we better go to the Bible to learn how that happens. As I said a moment ago, so many people are going through all kinds of things to try to find peace in their relationship with God, but they're not running to the Word of God. This book has the answer for it. Okay? There is a word in the Bible that defines how a person can be at peace with God. It's a word that was in the definition of I need to make peace with somebody. And the word is reconciled. That's how a person makes peace with God. Reconciled. And it's not hard to show you what the word reconciled means. Okay, so we're going to illustrate it up here on the platform this morning. We're going to let Brother Mike, Brother Bragg be God the Father. And I'm going to be the center for right now, okay? And Alan's going to be someone else in just a moment. I am a sinner. I'm born into this world with a sin nature. Nobody has to teach me how to lie. Nobody has to teach me how to be disobedient. Nobody has to teach me how to say mine and be selfish. That's inherent in my sin nature. I got it from my parents, who got it from their parents, who got it from their parents. And we all got it from Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned against God. Contrary to what so many people say, I'm not born into this world with a relationship with God. My relationship is cut off with God because of my sin nature. And because I don't have this relationship because of my sin, I don't have any peace with God. God, I've offended Him. I've broken His laws. I've sinned against His commandments. And the Bible teaches if I've sinned against one commandment, broken one commandment, I'm guilty of all. Say, well, that's not fair. You and I don't make the decision. We're not in charge. God is. So I'm born into this world. I've got no relationship with God. Thank God, as a child, as a baby, as an infant, like the little babies back, you know, they're protected. But by the time I am sinning and knowing I'm sinning and sinning on purpose, I have no peace with God. I have no relationship with God. None whatsoever. None. There's this great gulf fixed between me and Him. That's how it is with God and unsaved people. He's not at peace with man because of this separation. And I want to show you something. I've never done this before. I don't think I'll ever do it again, maybe unless we have a special day. I know sometimes on special Sundays people come and they don't have a Bible. And you listen to me, you listen to whoever's preaching, and we say, the Bible says. But I want you to see that what I'm about to read to you is not my writing. What I'm about to read to you is the Word of God. And I want you to see it, okay? Brother Scott, put it up there on the screen, if you would, please. All right? I'm going to read to you from the Bible. I thought I was. Maybe I'm not. I'm going to show you the Scripture. And it was working. Is it not working? It's not going to come up. This is why we don't do this. All right. Forget it. I'll just read it to you. Okay? Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:18. If you have a Bible, why don't you turn over there? Okay? Evidently, God did not want us to do that. All right? I tried, but I failed. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 18 says, okay, there it is. Okay, now it's up there. All right, so now that you're there, you can see it on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, look up here on the screen. That's a Bible, right? Okay. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Do you see that? That's not my writing. Those are not my words. Those are his words. And all things are of God. What does that mean? That means that God did all of what I'm about to show you. What I'm about to show you is God's plan. It's God's design. It's God's heart. All things are of God. All that we're talking about here in these scriptures, right here in chapter 5, all this is of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. There's a great gulf between me and God. I'm a lost sinner. I was born that way. God can't have peace with me because I've broken his law. I've sinned against his commandments. I've done it willfully. There's no peace. God can't have peace with me. But God wants to have peace with me. And God did everything to have peace with me. So he sent his son Jesus, who went to a cross, was crucified on that cross. And look at the next, let me get you the next picture. We're going to go to Colossians now. That's a book called Colossians. Look at this verse right here. And having made, what's that next word? Through the what? Of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Watch it up here. This is what these verses are teaching you. Listen to me. God sent his son Jesus. We celebrate his coming this time of year. But he came to die. And so he went to the cross and he shed his blood on the cross. It was all God's plan. All God's idea, all God's doing, every bit of it was all him. He sends his son goes to the cross, sheds his blood, and through the shedding of blood, through the death of Jesus Christ, and by the way, he didn't stay dead. He went to that tomb 3 days and three nights later. Amen. He rose again. Amen. Through what Jesus did for us on the cross, God made a way for you and me, for him to be at peace with us. He cannot be at peace with us. Go here, brother. He can't be at peace with us like this. The only way he can be at peace with us is through this. Through him. Through Jesus. So God has taken all the effort. God did all the planning. God did all the designing. He sent Jesus here. He went to the cross and shed his blood, died for the sins of mankind. And God says, okay, through the offering of my son on the cross of Calvary, now I can have peace through him with sinful man. Amen. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing. Now let me show you a verse. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Look what Paul said here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Reconciled. This is what God did when he sent Jesus to the cross. He made it possible for himself and sinful man to be reconciled. This is how God can have peace with us. We can have peace through Jesus Christ. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't work real hard, try real hard, give a lot of money, be real good. You know, No. It doesn't happen. No. This is the only way I can have peace with God. This way right here. He became the avenue. He became the conduit for peace between God and man. Our relationship can be fixed. Now listen, I am only a man. That's all I am, just a man. And I'm up here this morning. You know what I'm doing? See that word in the middle of the verse, beseech? I am beseeching you. You know what that word means? It means begging. I'm begging you to come to Jesus. If you've never been saved, I am begging you to come to Jesus Christ, receive what he did on the cross for you, so that God can be at peace with you. I'm begging you. I am just a man, okay? But the Bible says, I've been made an ambassador for Christ. What does an ambassador do? What does an ambassador of the United States to Spain do? He represents the United States, right? He represents the office of the president. He represents the government of the United States. He's not living in the United States. He's living in Spain, but he is representing the government of the United States of America. Well, every saved person, if you're saved this morning, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You represent Jesus Christ. And you know what representatives are supposed to do? They're supposed to beseech people to come to Christ. That's why we give out tracts. That's why we have the outreach ministries. That's what we're supposed to do, okay? Now, wait a minute. I'm going somewhere. The bus captain that invited you and prayed for you to come to church is an ambassador for Christ. The person who stopped at your door and invited you is an ambassador for Christ. The people who bought those gifts over there, put them in the gymnasium for the kids to ride the buses to hope to get visitors in, they're ambassadors for Christ. And all of us are hoping that people will come to Jesus and be reconciled to God and be at peace with God. God can have peace with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're begging you to be saved if you haven't been saved. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. You know who's begging? You know who wants you to be saved more than I do? You know who wants you to be saved more than the bus captain? You know who wants you to be saved more than the person that knocked on your door or left a tract? God does. God beseeches through people. God begs folks. Man, come to my son Jesus so that I can have peace with you. God begs. He wants nothing more than to be at peace with you. He wants nothing more than to cease being separated from you. He made the reconciliation possible. He sent his son to this world to make reconciliation possible. He gave his son to die. That's his plan. That's his design. So that God could have peace with every one of us. This is all God. You know, Alan told a wonderful story this week. He was out, him and Scott, I think, on Monday maybe. I don't know what day. They knocked on the door of a house that they thought somebody else had knocked on for a prospect. But the person's, no, I don't know anything about this church. I don't know anything about. So Alan got to tell them about, you know, the bus ministry. And then Alan, said, more important than that, have you ever been born again? And the lady said, no. But I've got a cousin, and she keeps telling me I need to get born again. And see, maybe asked Alan, how do you get born again? And Alan was able to show that person how to get born again. You get born again by coming to Jesus. But here's my point, friend. Thank God for a cousin that had a burden. You need to get born again. Thank God for two people that would go out and knock on a door and talk about being born again. And I'm thankful for the cousin. I'm thankful for Brother Alan and Brother Scott. But do you know, folks, do you know who really is speaking through that cousin, who's speaking through men like Brother Alan, Brother Scott? The one who's speaking through them is the one who designed all of this. It's the one who put it all together. It's his plan. It was in his heart before the foundation of the world. I'm going to create man. Man's going away from me. He's going to be involved in sin. I'm not going to have any peace with him. But I so long to have peace with him, so much so that I'm going to send my only son to die so I can have peace with my creation. You come and you say, that preacher was just hollering, begging me to be saved. There's more than that preacher involved in it, my friend. There's the very God of creation. Who wants you to be saved more than any human could ever be saved, could ever want you to be saved. It's His plan. He made it all possible. Thank you, fellas. For those who do not receive His offer of reconciliation through Jesus, the Bible makes it plain. The separation between them and God is eternally fixed when they die. It's over. But that separation doesn't take place in a grave. That separation takes place in a place that the Bible calls the lake of fire. And that's why the Bible also says God takes no pleasure in the death of those who don't get saved. They're separated from Him eternally, and it can't be fixed. Some people have improperly defined God as some angry being. I can't wait to send them to hell. I hate them. God doesn't hate anybody. He does hate sin. But He wants to be at peace with you. But if it doesn't happen now, in this life, it won't happen after death. How can anybody turn down God begging them to be saved? It's like God is saying, don't turn away from this offer of peace with me. Don't turn it away. Come through my Son, Jesus, and be at peace with me. I don't want to be separated from you eternally. God has done everything He can to have peace with you. That's one reason why we associate peace with Christmas. Jesus came to be your peace. He's even called the Prince of Peace. So please don't ignore God's offer of peace. Okay, so I don't want to ignore it, Pastor. How does this happen? Well, again, God has done everything He can to have peace with you. Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith. You know what faith is? Faith is taking God at His word. Faith is believing what God said to be true and then acting on it. Once you believe it, once you believe, you act upon it by telling God with your words that you believe that. God, I believe in my heart that I'm separated because of my sin from you. You can have no peace with me. But I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die, to go to the grave, to rise again, to be my peace. I believe that. And today, now, I receive it. It's not a process. It's not osmosis. It's not something that you eventually kind of morph into. It is a moment in time when you acknowledge I'm a sinner and now I am wanting to trust Christ as my Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God can make peace with you if you just trust Him to do it through His Son, Jesus. Folks, it's not your works. You know, you probably have heard of someone who attempted. We supported a missionary in Dominican Republic by the name of Josh Wesson. Great guy. His wife, Joy. Three or four kids. They were here for a missions conference in January or February of, I think it was 2014. And I think it was August of that year. We were coming back from the South vacation, and we got word that Josh had drowned. And how it happened was he had a bunch of teenage boys from the church there in the Dominican out in the ocean for an activity, and they were swimming, but three of the boys got too far out in the water in the riptide, And Josh saw it. He was a strong, well-built young man. And he swam out there and he pulled one guy to the shore, swam back, got a second guy pulled into the shore, went back for the third guy. He's gassed. And of course, you know what a drowning person does? They're frantic. What are they trying to do? Save themselves. Josh tried to get to him, but in the kid being frantic and Josh being tired, and he was a good-sized boy, he took Josh with him. Josh couldn't save him because he was so frantically trying to save himself. I want to tell you something. God won't save you if you're trying to save yourself. He can't do it. He won't do it. If that boy had just relaxed and submitted himself to Josh, possibly he and Josh both would be alive today. Possibly. My friend, I want to tell you something. God will never save you if you keep trying to save yourself. You got to just say, God, I'm yours. Take me. I'm coming to Jesus. Jesus died, was buried, rose again. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. Receive Jesus Christ today. And God will be at peace with you. And you with God. What a Christmas. What a Christmas. 2021 could be the greatest Christmas of your life if you just quit trying to save yourself and believe God and submit to Him and trust Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is begging you to be saved. Begging you. Let me ask you just to bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute this morning. And I just want to ask a couple of questions. Thank you for your attention. We had a couple of distractions. I think just the work of the evil spirit world, but not anybody, but just God doesn't like people. Satan doesn't like people to hear truth. Thank you for paying attention. I'm going to ask just two questions this morning, not three, not four, make a couple statements. So all I ask is for you just to be totally honest with yourself and with God. Church is a great place to be honest with God, since God knows anyway. How many people can say definitely, you know, I know that God is at peace with me because I have been saved. I have come through Jesus Christ and been saved, and I know it. If that's you this morning, could I see your hand wherever you're sitting? That's just a testimony. Just a testimony. Thank you. You may take your hands down. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your honesty. Whether you raised your hand or you didn't, you're honest. So I wonder this morning if there's anybody here who would say, Pastor Angel, I needed to hear that. And I would like for God to be at peace with me. But I don't know if I've ever been what you talked about this morning, saved, born again. I just don't know. But if that's God's plan, if that's God's design, and God is begging me, I'm at least interested enough to let you know. So if you're not sure that you're saved, I'm not asking you to join this church, be a Baptist. I'm just saying, if you're not sure that you're saved, I'd like to pray for you in just a minute. Could I see your hand if you're not sure you're saved? Just slip it up in the air. Slip it up for a moment. Take it back down. If you're not sure that you're saved, because God wants you to be saved more than anything in all this world. He's done everything He can to see you come to Christ, to be at peace with you. But it's going to have to be through Christ. Anybody like that this morning? I didn't raise my hand a moment ago. I don't know that, but I would like to raise it now. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. I don't know about the saved and born again. Pray for me. Anybody like that? If you're here today, you've been saved and not baptized, I hope that you step out this morning, be obedient to Christ and follow Him. And God will bless you for taking the first step of obedience. Maybe you've been saved and baptized, taken care of. You want to talk to us about membership? That's wonderful. Come see one of these men. Maybe you just want to pray this morning. But listen, if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, then I would beg you, and through me, I believe God is begging you, come and be reconciled to God through Christ. Be saved. Father in heaven, I pray that you take your word, use it for your honor, your glory this morning. I pray that if somebody's thought process is right now in their mind, they're thinking, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure. And they're troubled about it. I pray that your spirit, your word, your will get the victory in that person's life. I pray, God, that they might come and let one of these people show them how they can know for sure that they're saved. And you can have peace with them through Christ. That's my prayer this morning, that we'd be obedient to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. No one looking around. The instrument begins to play the song of invitation this morning. You may come. Pray if you'd like to. But if you're not saved, I would invite you to come this morning. Tell one of these men down here, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know. I don't know if God's at peace with me or not. I'm not sure. Would you come? Let God speak to your heart. Be obedient to Him, okay? Don't turn away from the beseeching of God to be saved. To be saved. While we wait this morning, if you're not sure, this is the greatest time in the world to make sure. You're amongst people that will be glad about it, be thrilled about it. Why don't you come today? Ladies can take a Bible and show a lady. Men can take a Bible and show a man how to be saved, a teenager. And that's God's heart. That's God's desire. That's God's plan. God beseeches you through us. Come and be saved. Come and be reconciled so I can be at peace with you. That's what God wants more than anything.